You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more, every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Bartosz Bojarczyk, PhD, an expert on Islamic Republic of Iran from the Maria Kiriskudowska University in Lublin.
Political Periscope.
Some time ago, about 2 weeks ago, Polish President Andrzej Duda spoke with the president of Iran. It sparked some controversies. What can you say about this event, about this phone call?
Actually, I don't know details of that phone call, I cannot comment on it. You know, probably that our president has criticized what the Iranian government is doing, or criticized the action against the people of Iran. But in my opinion, you know, Poland is not a very important country for Iran, so that conversation had no outcome, no real outcome in the in the matter.
Okay, do you think, is it possible right now in this situation to have some sort of strategic diplomatic talk with Iran, in spite of Iran providing drones for Russian, in spite of the situation between Iran and the United States?
Who you mean? I don't get the question. Who you mean? You know, the conversation. Who's supposed to have a conversation with who? Iran with who? With Poland or with?
Yes, with Poland.
Why with Poland? Poland is not important for Iran, and as far as I understand the Polish diplomacy, Iran has never played an important role in the Polish diplomacy. I don't know why. It's a pity for the long decades that nobody from the Polish side took Iran serious enough, you know, to establish some good cooperation with Iran. But I will repeat myself, for Iran, Poland is not important. Iran is not looking forward to any conversation with Poland, any serious conversation with Poland. A few months ago, there was a visit of the Polish foreign ministry in Iran. Mr. Rao went there, you know, and have signed a lot of memorandums of understanding on cooperation, but those are the paper agreements, you know, that they will not be fulfilled with the real actions. So as I said before, you know, Poland does not play any important role in Iran and around Iran, I would say.
This last phone call between President Duda and President of Iran, as far as I know, was some kind of Poland played a role of proxy between Ukraine and Iran. I imagine right now Ukraine has much more important interests with Iran, as Iran is providing the drones. Do you think Poland, because of its minor role for Iran, can it play a role of proxy?
I know where you're heading to, you know, but I cannot defend that stance, you know, your position. In my opinion, I will repeat, Poland is not important for Iran. Iran does not look towards Poland as a kind of the mediator, as a kind of the reacher, you know, towards the Ukraine. The Ukraine is talking directly to Iran about the drones and about the other things. There was a good cooperation between the Iran and Ukraine between them, I would say, in the last two decades. So they have channels of the communications, they have connections, and they have a good, the channels, you know, the good channels of the communication they don't in Poland. And for sure, the Polish diplomacy is too weak in order to play such an important role, you know, as a connector, a mediator between the Ukraine, or proxy, as you said, between the Ukraine and Iran.
So there is Iran and Russia. They have strong mutual interest, it seems. What's their mutual interest? Why do they cooperate?
Why not? You know, why the people cooperate? You know, Redactor, you're asking the questions, you know, that were, I would say, trivial, I would say. Why the countries cooperate, you know, to fulfill their own Eastern interests and to benefit from that cooperation. It's why, you know, it's all.
What we are seeing right now, that Iran and Russia are getting a bit closer than they were before. Do you think it can be some kind of answer, reply to this deal, a nuclear deal, which was ended by Donald Trump?
I would say if they cooperate closer, the cooperation between the Russia and Iran lasting for last 30 years or even more, you know, the cooperation had started during the 1980s of the 20th century and was continued through the till now. And if the cooperation between Iran and Russia is not about the drones, it's about the economy, it's about the military, it's about the politics, it's about the geopolitics. So it's for the last 30 years, both sides were cooperating, and this cooperation is continued under the war with Ukraine, and I don't see the problem with it. You know, for many years, both countries were getting closer. Both countries were engaged in the different kinds of the activities of the cooperation. I mean, of the together activities. So right now, they're continuing to do it after the. United States has withdrawn from the nuclear deal. That cooperation, I don't know if I may ask if it's, if I may call it, if it's closer or it's bigger. I would say it's on the same level. You know, the result of the United States withdrawal, as a main result of the United States withdrawal from the nuclear deal, I will point out to the strategic cooperation agreement between Iran and China, not with the Russia, but oh well, you know, the closer relations with Russia is an outcome as well, but I would say not as significant as a Chinese one.
Do you think it was a mistake of Donald Trump to withdraw from this nuclear deal with Iran?
In my personal opinion, but also as opinion of the expert, you know, on Iran, it was, in my opinion, it was the great mistake. It was the one of the main failures of the United States diplomacy, United States foreign policy in the 21st century. They have reached the agreement with Iran. I mean, the international community, but mainly I will talk about the United States. They have reached the agreement with Iran. Agreement was not perfect, of course, you know, it was the, but it was okay, it was good enough. It has prevented Iran from building up the nuclear bomb, and on the other hand, it has opened the Iran on the Western investments, and it has somehow, you know, stabilized the position of Iran, you know, so it was benefiting both sides. Or it benefited both sides, and the United States has canceled it. You know, it was the unilateral decision of the United States, I mean, of the Donald Trump, but let's call it United States, and it, in my opinion, was a mistake. Because of that decision, the Middle East is more chaotic. There are a lot of problems because of that mistake, and the situation, the relations between the between Iran and the United States and Iran and the U.S. Allies is, I would say, problematic. It's very dangerous. So, yeah, it was a mistake, 100%. And, you know, that, you know, that to prove, the main proof that it was a mistake is the right now United States approach to negotiate a new agreement. So... So I would say it's a biggest issue in the Middle East, one of the biggest issues and one of the hottest issues in the Middle East right now, that is, and it's important for the both sides. But like I said, you know, Iran may leave without the agreement, but it's dangerous for the rest of the international community because Iran is close to building a nuclear bomb, and the world will be not safer with the Iran's nuclear capabilities at all.
And do you think it's the lost cause, or is it possible to make a new deal, to make a new agreement? Well, especially right now, to maybe take Iran from Russia, away from Russia, away from China?
You know, in last weeks, I'm answering, you know, many questions like that from your colleagues, from the different stations, you know, and TVs. But I don't think so that there is a possibility, you know, to, I would say, buy the agreement and to buy Iran. Iran is oriented into the east. I mean, oriented in the axiological way, in the political way, in the economic way. It's oriented into the east, and I don't think that is possible anymore. To, I would say, I don't know to how to call it. You know, to for Iran to join the Western community on the values and on the rules of the Western community. Not at all. You know, we have to bear in mind that Iran is a regional power, that Iran has its own aspiration, and for sure Iran will no longer accept its lower position in front of the Western powers. No, it has its own capabilities and is trying to use it, and I would say it's quite successful in using it in the Middle East. So it lasts for sure, 2 decades, we have ongoing process of Iran's position increase or Iran's position, I would say, Iran's position, increase of Iran's position and the power of it and the increase in Iranian power in the regional manner and in the regional theater. So I would say Iran is stronger than it was 20 years ago, stronger in the different in the different dimensions, in the multi-dimensional approach. But what is the Iranian weakness? Economy. But Iran has showed, has proved that it's able to stand against the Western sanctions. Of course, the people are hurted, the people are suffering, but the regime proved to be able to survive under such a sanction. So, in my opinion, the nuclear agreement with Iran would be a success and would be a very good thing. But it's not an agreement on Iranian I would say, behavior. It's just an agreement on Iranian nuclear policies.
You mentioned the society, which is suffering because of the sanctions, because of Iranian economy. What is the current level of unrest in the society? Do you think this movement that we are observing, we've been observing for like a few weeks already, is it possible to become a full-scale revolution?
So, answering your questions, I don't believe that that those protests or those demonstrations are strong enough to overthrow the Islamic regime of Iran. But my heart would love to believe in such a scenario. But I bear in mind, you know, 1978, 1979, when the revolution hit Iran, anti-Shah revolution, and it was quite similar. So I would love to believe that that the situation will evaluate in the same manner, but I don't, actually, you know, I would love to believe it, but I don't believe in it. Why? Because the movement, I would say, we cannot call it movement. Is the people are demonstrating, protesting against the regime, against the policies of the regime, against everything. But they are, first of all, they are not organized. They are not organized at all. They are disintegrated in the sense, and they have no or little, I would say, no support from the outside. But when we look to the internal determinants of those protests, you know, two main of them, the disintegration of that of those people, and isolation of the different demonstration protests from itself. So we cannot call it any kind of the movement, I would say, because it's just the people who are protesting against the regime. And the regime is quite cruel against the protesters. So in my opinion, you know, those demonstrations, those protesters will be pacified and they will be heated strongly by the regime itself. You know, already some trials has started in Iran, and in upcoming weeks, a lot of people will be prosecuted legally, you know, for what they have done against the regime. Actually, you know, where they done not too much in our opinion, but in the opinion of the Islamic regime, they done terroristic things, and they revolted against the government, against the God, and against the people. So in the eyes of the regime, it's a those were the very serious attacks, and the people will pay a very high price for it. And in my opinion, it will prevent the rest from continuing the protests.
And how are the protests now? Are they increasing on the steady level or already decreasing?
No, it's very hard to tell, because there is not enough information that are coming out from the Iran. What I know, that the protests are continued, not in a such a scale that it used to be, but still the protests are continued. But in my opinion, you know, the level of those protests is decreasing. You know, the people, first of all, it's over 1 month, even more. Yeah, it's over the over a month. Month and a half, you know, when the protests have started, and they led to nowhere. Actually, nothing was changed. That the Iran's position, the position of the Islamic regime, has not changed. The regime is very cruel toward the protesters. You know, almost 300 of them have been killed by the security forces. Thousands, 10 of the thousands, are detained, are arrested. And like I said before, I don't see any hope, you know, that they will have any big, that they will affect with a great scale the structure and the mechanisms of the Islamic regime. So also I learned, you know, from today and yesterday, I learned from the news, from the exile Iranian news agencies, that Iranian regime is bringing to Iran the allies, you know, the proxy allies, I would say, the fundamentals from Iraq, I mean fundamentalists from Iraq to crush the those protests with the full force. So but the situation is like that the, you know, the protesters are protesting, they are unorganized, and they do not have a real power, I would say real power, because it's not enough of them who are protesting, and the regime is very cruel towards those protesters. So I wouldn't like it to happen, but in my opinion, you know, in upcoming weeks, those protests will be seized down and the situation will be pacified. You know, and this whole struggle, the whole struggle was, I would say it was, how to call it, you know, I lost the word, you know, was unexpected, and it will end with the failure. You know, when the protest has started, you know, the regime was not prepared for it. You know, they haven't expected. I mean, the regime itself hasn't expected such a scale of the protest. You know, and they were surprised by it. They were shocked. It's why the reaction towards the protest is so harsh, because the regime members, I mean, the supreme leader and the others who are in the decision making centers, they were completely surprised and they were not prepared for it. So they reacted with the panic and with the full scale force, you know, just to put it down.
But it's not the first time Iranians are protesting against the government. I remember well about 10 to 15 years ago, there were some protests. We were even talking about possible revolution. Do they have something in their national spirit that makes them revolt against this Islamic government, or are they more or less okay with it?
No, it's you know, some people are not okay. Some people are okay. You know, the Iranian society is divided. You know, between those who are supporting the regime and those who are against the regime. You know, but both groups have to live in Iran, because Iran is a authoritarian state. You know, non-democratic state. Where your rights are limited. You know, any kinds of rights, from the political to the economic to the societal rights, so are limited, and some people are not okay with it. You know that the regime itself is quite oppressive towards its people when you don't like the regime. So I don't say that Iranians have something in their blood, you know, that makes them to revolt against the government or against them the Islamic regime. Just, you know, the situation in Iran is quite bad, you know, and like I said, it's non-democratic state, and some part of the society is not happy with it, and they would like that the regime to be changed, you know, and the system, the political system, to be changed, and the economic system to be changed, and they would love to Iran to become a normal, I would say, Western country with the liberal democracy. On the other hand, you know, the people, some people, they are happy with the Islamic regime, and they don't want to any changes to occur in Iran, besides maybe the economic one. So, like I said, you know, the polarization of the society in Iran is a big issue and is a huge phenomenon.
Not so much time has passed since the Islamic Revolution, and many people remember still the life before it. And is this sentiment of liberal Western life among older people or among rather younger people?
You know, you don't have to remember, you know, you just turn the TV or you just, you know, look into the Twitter or you just turn into the internet and you know how the world is constructed and how the people are living abroad. So you don't have to remember the old times, you know, if you watch the news or if you watch the whatever, the program, you know, the TV, like I said, when you search for the information or in the internet, you learn about the world. And some people in Iran or many people in Iran, they would like to have the same surrounding, you know, they would like to live the same life, and they don't like to live in the oppressive Islamic Republic. So of course the people remember that the revolution, you know, because it turned to be Islamic. The revolution was not Islamic itself, because there were many forces that were taking part in the revolution in 1978-1979. The Islamic force or the Islamists has won, but many people, you know, who turned against the Shah, they didn't want the Islamic Republic to be constructed. They were hoping for the regular democratic state. But I will point out to those mass media, you know, to those mass media as a main source of the example how the life is outside Iran. So the young and the old, they know how the things are going outside Iran. Also, many of the Iranians has their family abroad. You know, a lot of people have migrated from Iran during the last 40 years, and they have contacts with Iran. So everybody, I would say most of the people in Iran, they are aware how the world, you know, looks like.
Last question, what would need to happen for the Iranians to really change the government?
The full-scale revolution, you know, I cannot, in my opinion, the regime itself will not give up the power. I don't see any possibility like that. And what complicates more situation, you know, and the possibility of the revolution of currents is the fact that the regime has all regime itself has all powers in its hands. The political one, the military one, the economic one, you know, and they control all of the, I would say, levels of life in Iran. It's not like that there is a power vacuum, that the people may organize themselves there and they may revolt against the government. No way. So the regime itself will not give up the power, and I don't see a possibility, you know, for the regime change or overthrow without a full-scale revolution that would be supported from the outside. But Iran has allies also, and what we have seen in Syria, for example, the Syrian scenario, it would be very very possible in the Iranian case. So long-standing war with the regime and with the people. But the Iranians, they are afraid of such a scenario. They remember the revolution time. They remember the war with Iraq. A lot of people have been killed. Most of the families lost someone during those events, you know, I mean, during the revolution or during the long-standing war with Iraq, and they don't want this scenario to happen. So I would say that we have the stalemate, we have a clinch, we have the gridlock, and this situation, in my opinion, will continue, you know. So as far as I understand, you know, the Iran from inside and what is going outside Iran, the regime has more chances, I mean, has more chances for survival rather than to be destroyed.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
This was The Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.